Good evening. It's good to see everyone together tonight. It's always good to be together on the first day of the week. What a magnificent plan God had for us when He created this day at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first day of the week, for His people to come together and worship Him for saving us from our sins, and that's what we do. Tonight we're going to be talking about two major signs that you're drifting. It's something we need to talk about. It's something that needs to be taught. We'll begin in Hebrews chapter 2. The book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians. That's who it's specifically addressed to. These Jewish Christians had come out of Judaism and had come into Jesus Christ. As a result, when you look through the book and you get over to places like Hebrews 10, they had land confiscated. They were made public spectacles. They endured a lot of ill treatment because they left their Jewish ancestry for the name of Christ. The pressure apparently had become so great upon those who had obeyed that they're now being encouraged to come back under Judaism. And if you come back to Judaism, you have to leave Jesus. And so the book is written to let you and I know, or to let them know, you're giving up everything. If you leave Christ, you're giving it all up. Well, in that mixture, and we can see a general principle for all of us tonight, in that mixture, there's a tendency sometimes that we want to drift. And you need to know, I need to know, that when you drift, what does it look like? Because generally when you drift, you don't know it. Sometimes it's a long process. And the next thing you know, you realize you were here with the Lord. Now you're way over here and you wonder, how did I get there? When we were down at the ocean once, there was a huge billboard on the ocean front. And it was a picture of calm water. And in that picture, they were trying to explain signs to look for in a riptide in calm water. Well, you see, they have to put that up there. Because you can be out in completely calm water, and next thing you know, you're going the wrong direction, and you're not even aware of it. So as to give you some awareness of those things happening. Well, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, the Hebrew writer tells us, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." The reason being who Jesus is to us in chapter 1 and who Jesus is to God. And because of who Jesus is, we need to pay much closer attention to what we heard. You have to get back to what brought me under Christ. What brought me to this great salvation? And we've got to pay attention to that, he says, so we don't drift away. And it can happen to any of us. You know, one of the easiest ways to drift is just pay no attention. It takes no effort to drift. I was at a place this last week down speaking, and there's an individual I've known many, many years. And as I began to talk with them after our lesson, the first thing I realized about them, you've moved a long way off spiritually. It didn't take much to pick up on it. And what was worse, they don't even know it. They weren't aware. They weren't aware. They've stopped paying attention to what they have heard, and now they've drifted away. And it's not a good thing. Well, look at verse 2. For if the word of God spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He's taken them back under that Old Testament. And you know what God made sure back there? When His Word was spoken, when His Word was preached, angels brought some of the Word of God to them. That Word could not be altered in any way. And that anyone back there that did the wrong thing according to the Word of God, they received a just penalty for what they did. Every transgression, every act of disobedience received a penalty. Well, that's strong words. God didn't let people off. You ignore the Word of God back there, and there was a just penalty that came to you. Well, what about me and you? How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We have the greatest salvation. Ah, it's just amazing to look at the great salvation we have. What if you start neglecting it? What if you take kind of a carefree attitude? What if you take a carelessness with your salvation? I mean, you don't see it as great anymore. You're on the drift. You're on the drift. And if you and I neglect that kind of salvation, you're in deep trouble. And sometimes we get lazy in our lives. Sometimes we stop paying attention. Yeah, we hear Carrie every week. Oh yeah, here's another. If it's the Word of God, you better be paying attention. You can't just pick and choose and expect to be right with the Lord. You start drifting. Well, there's two major signs He gives us in the book of Hebrews. Two major signs that you're on the drift. Number one, come over to chapter 4. Look at verse 2. He says, "For indeed we've had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard." The number one sign that you are on the drift is that the Word of God does not mean a whole lot to you anymore. And the Hebrew writer, he reminds them, hey, back there, they had good news preached to them. They had it. And we have good news preached to us. The problem was the nation of Israel was punished. They received every just punishment for their disobedience because the word that they heard from the Lord was not united by faith in their heart. And that's the same problem today. Over the many years of preaching, sometimes you wonder where people are as a church. You preach and you preach and you teach and you exhort and you encourage. Oh, sometimes we as human preachers may not be the best. We may have our, bad sermon. But it's not about you and, me or any other preacher. It's about the Word of God. And you having a respect for the Word of God. And if the Word of God is preached, God says, "Preach my Word," and He's looking into every one of your hearts. And He's finding out, are you putting faith with my Word? When you're in the wrong, and the Word of God says you're in the wrong, He's looking for a response. When the Word of God says, "This is how I want you to live on a daily basis," He's looking for a response. When He's trying to help us and bring us to a point where we can grow, He's looking for a response. And He says here that it did not profit them. You know what? The Word of God can become profitless within the church because there's no faith in it. It's just another nice lesson. Good lesson, preacher. Well, that's a good word you preached today. Oh, you know, I just told you that, you know, stomping your toes, stomping your feet. People say, hey, step on my feet all the time. Well, if it's hurting, are you going to unite that word with faith? That's really the key. So you and I, the number one thing, sign of drifting, is that the Word of God does not mean much to us. And we need to know that. Look back at chapter 3. Look at verse 14. He says, for we have become partakers of Christ. If indeed we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, while it is said today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. I mean, can you think about being a partaker, a fellowshipper, a share in Christ? We have become that. You and I share in Christ. You know what that means? All the benefits that Jesus brought. All the holiness that Jesus brought. All the sanctification that Jesus brought. Everything about forgiveness. We share in Christ in that. And now if we become sharers in Christ, you know, He's going to make sure we make it. However, there's one thing. It is conditional. If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. It's got to mean something to you. And so today, He makes an Old Testament quote here. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts like they back there in the Old Testament. They provoke. Did you know when you don't listen to the Word of God anymore, you are provoking God to a response? You know, you always hear the thing about, you know, let the sleeping dog lie. You don't poke at it. You don't keep messing with things that are going to bite you. Well, I want to tell you something. If you hear the voice of God, and you're not responding to it, there's something happening to you, and it's called hardening of the heart. At that very moment, your heart is getting hard to where God nor His Word can penetrate. Now, you go too long in that, where you think you're going to end up. I mean, some people, as they age, and they've heard everything, and you know, they just don't care anymore. There's just no response. Oh, they may be here every time, you know, that we assemble, but there's nothing getting in there. Why? Because their hearts are hardened. Because the Word of God is not penetrating anymore. It's not uniting with faith. And now, guess what? They provoked God back there. You and I can provoke God right here. One of the major signs of drifting is that the Word of God is not being paid attention to. Real quick, come back with me to John 12. Keep this marked. We'll come right back over. John chapter 12. And I want to show you the relationship real quick. The relationship of the Word of God and Jesus. In John chapter 12, look at verse 47. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus said, this is my intention. Verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. You know what? The words of Jesus is going to be your judge. You can harden your heart. You can stop paying attention. You can act like you know it all. You can act like you heard it before. But when the Word of God is preached and you're not making a faith response to it, guess what? If you hear the teachings, the sayings of Jesus, and you don't follow them and you don't receive them, you are rejecting Jesus Himself. Did we hear that? To not follow the Word of God is a direct rejection of Jesus. And so Jesus said, I didn't come to judge you. He came with the Word of God, and the Word of God's going to be your judge in the end. And so you can make all your excuses, you can say anything you want to say, but somewhere at the end of time, you're going to have to give an account. Did you know my Word said that? Yeah, I know your Word. Then why did you disobey? Why did you harden your heart? You see, you reject the Word of God, you reject Jesus. There is no way around it. That's why teaching is so important. That's why preaching is so important. Is that you're standing before a God and His Word is speaking. And this is what I want from you. But if there's no faith in it, now there's got to be some consequences. And one of those consequences is drifting. Well, come back over to Hebrews. Look at chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 5. He says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Money is one of the greatest stresses in the lives of people, the lack of it. It creates all sorts of stress. It puts a lot of things on us that are unnecessary. It creates fears. It creates worries. And what does the Word of God say? Keep your character free from it. Free from the love of it. Work on contentment with what you do have. See, many times we're not content where we are. We want more. And we put ourselves in greater debt. We put ourselves in greater strains because our desires push us forward. And when we can't meet the more, then the stress is because we don't have the money. Learn to be content. Because you know what He says? I'll never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's the Word of God. You know what He's not going to do? As we live our lives the way we do, if you understand, money is not the issue. A lot of times our stresses come because we get ourselves into financial difficulties because we're not listening too well to the Lord. We want, and we want. Think of it this way. Whenever you get a raise, you know what many times the first move people do? What's the first move? Spend it. Because they got it. No thought. No thought about needs. No thought about saving. No thought about giving. The Word of God says, I will never desert you. Then why are you worried about your money? I can take care of that. See, it's to lead you so you and I can confidently say, the Lord's my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? That's the Word of God. See, one of the signs we drift is because we don't listen to the Word of the Lord anymore. And it creates these things within us. Well, come back to chapter 4 real quick. Come back to chapter 4. Look at verse 12. He says, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The Word of God is living and it's active. and it's sharp. You know, people say it, and they say it jokingly. I know that. So don't get me wrong here. There are people who come up and say, do you have a camera in our house? Things that you said, that's exactly what we got going on. Have you ever thought about the Word of God being alive? You ever thought about God's looking down and looking into our hearts and seeing the very fibers, and His Word is spoken and He's trying to find out, are you going to unite faith with My Word? Are you going to respond rightly to it? Word of God is living. It's active. It's not inactive. It does its work and it's sharp. And boy, sometimes it can cut you to the very depth of the fiber you're being. And He said it can pierce as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intention of the heart. You know what the Word of God is for? And I've shared this with you before, but I want to bring it to your remembrance again. You know why He uses all of those concepts, soul and spirit, joints and marrow, thoughts and intention of the heart? He's showing that every ramification of our lives, our spiritual life, our physical life, our mental well-being is all tied to the Word of God. You want to be mentally stable? It goes to the Word of God. It can judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You want to be spiritually well? It can divide the soul and the spirit. It can help you to that depth. You want to be well physically? The joints and the marrow. Yeah, the Word of God has physical effects on us. Just like worry and depression and those things have physical effects on us. The Word of God is living and active. And one of the greatest signs that we're drifting is that the Word of God is not a priority anymore to us. We're not listening anymore. But boy, we got a lot of opinions. We got a lot of books, what books say to us. And then He says in verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him to whom we have to do. Hey, you're not hiding from God. Everything is laid bare about you before in the sight of God. Ain't nobody getting by with anything. Not one person in here tonight. Not one person out there. When the Word of God is preached, God is expecting a response to those who have faith. Otherwise, you're hardening. And if you're hardening, you're drifting. And you're drifting further away, and it's a slow drift. But you're getting there. So one of the first signs, Word of God is not a priority. The second thing that we see, come over to Hebrews chapter 12. The second sign. Look at verse 25. Hebrews 12:25. See to it that no, you do not refuse Him who is speaking. Isn't that an interesting thing that He says after we talked about the number one thing is that the Word of God loses its priority in your life? Don't you refuse Him who's speaking. Don't do it. For if those did not escape when they refused Him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape to who turn away from Him who warns from heaven? Oh, Moses warned the people. All those Old Testament prophets warned the people and they didn't listen. And they were destroyed. They went into captivity. Well, he said, what do you think God warns from heaven? I haven't given you the second one yet. We're about to get it. Verse 26. And His voice shook the earth then, but now He has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of the things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. There is going to be a removal, a moving of the created. One of my favorite sayings of anything that we get, anything I buy, I always tell people, it's going to burn. the created things that we place our confidence in, that we love so much, is going to be shaken, it's going to be taken away, but there is this thing that cannot be shaken. That's the enduring thing. And so you and I, we better not refuse Him who's speaking from heaven. God spoke from heaven, or they spoke from the earth once. God speaks from heaven, the removal of the created. What does He mean? Verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, it's not created. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let us show gratitude. The number two sign that you're drifting when worship is not a priority in your life. The Word of God may not be a priority, and if it's not, I'll guarantee you worship won't be a priority. You and I have an eternal kingdom, eternal spiritual kingdom, and nothing physical will ever touch that. And we, as partakers of Jesus, are part of that eternal kingdom. And in that eternal kingdom, if you have faith in it and you can see it through the eyes of faith, then you need to show some gratitude to God. And how do you do that? By which we offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Worship is offering back to God. It's always been that. It always needs a priority. It always needs to be a priority. That's what worship is about. It's about your reverence for God. You stand in awe of God because of who He is and how insignificant you and I are, and He's going to let me participate with Him. Why would that God do that? I don't know, but you stand in awe of Him. Why would He share everything about Him with us? I don't know. I don't understand that either. But I know I want Him to know I'm grateful. And I hope you can tell Him you're grateful for saving me, for taking me from my sins. And out of reverence for God, and in awe for that great salvation, show Him your thankfulness. I know you've probably heard it before, but you need to be reminded, and so do I. How many times do you hear people, and I've heard it a lot over the many years, they come to worship and they get nothing out of it? I don't get anything out of it. You know why? Because you're not there to offer anything to God. You're selfish and self-centered. You're making it all about you. Well, I don't get anything out of it. Because you offer nothing. God has given you and I everything. Every blessing through His grace. And we come back and I don't get anything out of it. You have nothing to offer? People like that have no reverence for God at all. And they sure don't hold Him in awe. Last Sunday, when I was preaching through the book of Job, in one day, if you remember, Job lost every physical possession that he ever owned and all of his children. In one day. And what did he do? He worshiped God. Oh, he hurt. He didn't understand what was happening. But he had such reverence and awe for God. He worshiped God. And in his worship to God, he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." In the midst of the worst time in his life. What does that tell us? You see, the sign that we're drifting away is that when worship is not important to us any longer. You remember the 10 lepers? Those 10 lepers that Jesus healed? Out of the 10, one came back and fell down at the feet of Jesus and he worshiped. Jesus didn't ask him to do that. God didn't ask Job to do that. Worship is an automatic response to salvation. Worship is an automatic response to the awe and reverence that we have to God. And so when you start drifting, you start losing importance of worship. I've heard in over the many years, you know, as you deal with couples, I've heard some, you know, it may be a wife may say, why do you always go to church? Maybe the husband, why are you always going to church? It's all you ever do is go to church. You need to go with me. Why are you trying to pull them away from worship? What does it say about you? To pull somebody away from the worship of their God, this consuming God, this God that we need to reverence and respect. Oh, they're in trouble. When it's not a priority, they're in trouble. Oh, ball game's a priority today. Let's go to the ball game. You know, last week they had the fair going, well, let's go to the fair. Those things become a priority. That's a sign you are in deep trouble spiritually with the Lord. Look back at chapter 11 real quick. We're about done here. Look at chapter 11. Look at verse 21. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning on the top of his staff. Jacob was dying. He wasn't well. And he blesses his sons. And he leans on his top of his staff and he worships God when he's dying. See, it meant something to the Lord. Now, if worship doesn't mean much to you, I would be very concerned. I really would. I really would. Well, come back to 12:29 or 28 again. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Oh, offer to God. Worship. I'm out of time. I'd like to show you one more thing with your approval. Oh, yeah? Okay. See the head. Yeah, go for it. All right, thank you. Come back to chapter 10. I want to do some teaching with this. Too many people use this section for the wrong motive, wrong reason. In chapter 10, beginning in verse 19, the Hebrew writer tells us, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, look at those three verses. How do we even get close to God? How do we do it? The blood of Jesus. The flesh of Jesus, what He offered for us. This priest that's over God's house. Priest doesn't mean a whole lot to you and I as Gentiles. It meant everything to the Jew. I mean, Jesus did it all. And He brings us right into the presence of God. And since we have all of that done by Jesus, show some confidence. Confidence in the Lord, verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I mean, come near. Draw near to God with some assurance in this deal. You know, you've been cleansed. You've been made whole. You're pure. Your bodies have been washed with pure water. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession. The confession that Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, and He paid the debt for my sins. And we confess that the day we were immersed into Christ. Hold to what you confessed, because Jesus promised that He'll be faithful. Verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be encouraging each other to love and good deeds. We need to be encouraging one another to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord! You need to serve the Lord. Encourage one another. And the way you don't do that, He brings in verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, I said we misapply. Oh, a lot of years I hear people raking you over the coal because you missed an assembly. Oh, you forsaken the assembly! Pay attention to what it says. First off, the word forsake means to abandon. Sometimes in situations or where we're at, we can't assemble with the saints because of the situation, the circumstances. You've not forsaken anything. You're not giving up the assembly. What He's writing this to is to Jewish Christians. And they're going back. They are abandoning the assembly of the saints. And they're going back to Judaism and temple worship. That's the context of these verses. And so in that context, if you abandon the assembly, how in the world can you encourage anybody to be faithful to the Lord, to loving good deeds? How can you do it? You see, He had the assembly in mind. You remember, the second greatest sign that you're in trouble spiritually is when you don't see the assembly. Your worship to God is important. And they were abandoning. And He said, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know what's coming? We're now a day closer to the eternity in our personal lives than we were yesterday. And when we get done here tonight, you're going to be one assembly closer to you seeing the Lord face to face. And we're worried about the shakeable things. We're involved in the shakeable things. We need to be concerned about the unshakable kingdom that you and I are a part of. All because of God. And so therefore, your desire to worship, your desire to offer to God, your desire to encourage your brothers and sisters. That's a bad sign for you, for me. You and I, Word of God doesn't mean much to you. You're in trouble. And it's lessons like this that try to get us to see, what do we need to do? How do I know I'm drifting? The Word of God's not a priority anymore. Worship is not a priority to me anymore. And that's how you know. Search your hearts. Let's stay centered. And by the way, those two elements of drifting, they're both connected. They really can't be separated one from the other. And let's encourage other people who have drifted. Let's encourage them, listen to God's Word. Let's encourage them, worship God, to offer something back to God for what He's offered and given to you. May God help us. May He bless you. May He keep you.